Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you and we thank you so much for this day that you have given us once again, Father. I pray, Father, that today you will plow our hearts and prepare our hearts, Father, to receive your seed, Lord, to receive your word in it, Lord. We pray that your word will nourish us and keep us strong, Father, in a time of need, in a time of plenty, in a time of want, Father, and that you will bless us always with your word, Father God. I pray, Father God, as I speak today, that you will humble me, Lord, that you will humble all of ourselves, just to get us ready to hear you, Father God, and to know the words that you want me to speak today, Father. I pray that you bless this time together as a family, Lord. We have so much to say, so much to do, Lord, but we always ask, Father, for your presence to be here with us, to guide us, direct us, and always teach us, and always to know that you love us so much. Thank you, Father God. We pray, we ask, and receive all these things in our Lord Christ Jesus' name, a name above all names. We ask all these things. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. And we have an awesome word from God today. And, you know, today we're going to cover the title is the prophetic test. And it's finding God's word for our lives. And, you know, once again, we're looking at the life of Joseph. And in the Bible, and usually the life of Joseph is covered in Genesis 39 and 40. But, you know, we see that God gave Joseph a dream and a destiny. And you also have a God-given dream and a destiny for your life. You know, every person has that. But this time, let's put it a different way. Let's put it this way, that God has a destination for you in mind. So you need to know that when God speaks prophetically, some of the words he speaks are unconditional. And in other words, it doesn't depend on us to have these things come to pass. And if I can put it this way, you see, it doesn't matter whether or not what we do upon our response, because whether we like it or not, Jesus is coming back. You know, it doesn't matter what we do. It does, you know, if we're ready or not, Jesus is coming back. This is a prophetic word that is not conditional upon our response. But there are many prophetic words that are conditional upon our response. In a matter of fact, when you'll see it in the Bible, like words like if and then. And in 2 Chronicles 17:14, it's not in your notes, but it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So this is the prophetic test. God spoke a prophetic word over Joseph's life, and he tested him before that word came to pass. And so that's what we'll be talking about today. But I want you to know that God has spoken a prophetic word in your life also. I promise you that he has. And he has a destination for you in mind. But you need to understand, if God has a destination for you, it's his desire also for you. You see, God sets a path for you, but you need to know if you turn from that path. We will learn what will keep us on that path or that destination. Because if you walk in another way, you're not going to arrive at that destination. And, you know, Satan might be waiting for you there at that destination. But when God speaks, he creates. When he wants light, what does he do? He says, let there be light. He doesn't have to, you know, wave his hands or anything or look like with a wand or whatever it is. He doesn't do that. He just speaks and God creates. You know, God has spoken over all of our lives. He created us and he spoke that in life into us. You see, what we're going through right now is a test. And that test is God's way of building and strengthening our character so that that character can support your destiny. So let's look in your notes here. It says, We're going to look at Psalms 105. The psalmist is talking about actually about Joseph in there. And let's see what it says. It says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. But they hurt his feet with fetters and was laid in irons. Until the time that the word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So we see that Joseph was in a real prison. You know, we know that a lot of things happened to him there where he advanced, but we can also see by this verse that he was in a real prison. But what we're going to look at today is that key verse, the one in verse 19. Now, you remember the New Testament was written in the Greek, and the Old Testament was in the Hebrew. And when you go back into the original language, sometimes we will only have one English word, whereas in the Greek or Hebrew, they may have 1 to 5 different meanings for that one word, because it's based upon how they use it on a sentence or how they translate it. So we have that going on in verse 19. So I want you to look at this description. Until the time that his word, speaking of Joseph, came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Now I want you to look at the two words, the word. Okay, I know I was getting kind of mixed up on that too, but I had to go through it really, really slow. But I want you to think there's two words in there. So we're looking at those two words. One is for the first word, they're both in Hebrew. The first word there is dabar. It means the spoken word, something spoken. I have put that in your notes. So we can read that verse this way. Until the time that was spoken over, what it basically saying is, until the time that the word was spoken over Joseph, it came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Now the second word there is actually Imra. It means the literal word of God. We can refer it to the Bible, the scriptures, and in the Hebrew, it actually means the Torah, or the literal word of God. So basically what it's saying is this, is when you look at it, until the time that his prophetic word came to pass, the literal word of God tested him. You know, let's read some, I had some other verses here in the Bible where we can see the word Imra, where it's used in the Bible. The first one is in Psalms 12:16, and it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And then we have Psalms 18:30, and it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. And in Psalms 119:11, it says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, this book, the Bible, is testing us right now. The book tests our character. This book will determine whether what was spoken over our lives comes to pass. But you know, you might be saying, well, if God speaks it, wouldn't it be the same as the literal word? And we're going to cut. We're going to cover all that in about an hour from now. So everybody's head came off on that one. But, you know, I'm going to show you that there's actually a difference between the two. So get your pens ready on that one. Okay. So I first of all, that first chapter that we read in Psalms 105:19, I read that to you in the King James Version. But now I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation, because what it does here is it really summarizes all what we've been studying about the tests that Joseph went through. He went through the pride test. He went through the pit test. He went through the prosperity test. He went through all these tests. But this, when I read it in a New Living Translation, it really summed it up. And this is what it says. It's in your notes. It says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. You see, we all need to spend every day, we need to spend time in the Word of God. You know, the Bible is the greatest book there is. And, you know, in Proverbs 4:22, it's in your notes, it says, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. And we were talking mind, spirit, and soul there. If we would just read his word more, it would heal us all. It really is a healing word. So whether we like it or not, there is a prophetic word on all of our lives. And I have three things that will help us find God's word for our lives. So number one, I have here, and you can write it in, I submit my word to his word. I submit my word to his word. So here's the difference between a prophetic word and the literal word, the literal written word of God. So get your pens ready. Here it is. It's coming. There's only one difference, and that's the human element. That's the only difference. You know, you might say, you know, you might hear some people say, well, I have a word from God. And what you should say is, well, I have a word too. I have a word too. You know, and if your word doesn't line up with this word, you need to adjust your word to this word. Because this word ain't adjusting. We don't adjust this word. This word adjusts us. It will adjust us. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13:9. And it says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. So let me say it this way. Does anybody know everything? I mean, we know some people who think they know everything, but, you know, it's not. No, so no, we don't know in full. So we only know in part. So that goes the same here with prophecy. We only, you know, prophecy is like pieces of the puzzle. We only get some parts of that puzzle. You know, you might hear somebody say it like this. Well, you know, this year will be a year of darkness. And you might hear somebody over here, well, it's going to be a year of light. And what do? We go, you know, I like light. So I want to stay on the light side. But what we should do is we should look at it and say each has a part in this. You know, and when you match it up to the word of God, you can see the same thing happening with the Israelites, with the Hebrews in the time of Egypt. The Egyptians stayed in the darkness while God had there in Goshen in light. You see, maybe the prophecy is about, you know, it may be a world for people who aren't Christians in darkness. They live in darkness. But as Christians, we live in light. You see, we have to take that kind of prophecy to the word of God. You see, so you know, but to understand it, the prophecy, every prophetic word, even the spoken word of God, is submitted to the God of the word. This book tells us what God is saying. So I'm going to make a strong statement here. Some people will never fulfill their destiny unless they change some things in their lives, because their lives don't line up with the word of God. One example some people won't fulfill their destiny is because they will not submit to authority, and that was me. I wouldn't do it. You know, but some people would, and some people will never fulfill their destiny because they won't even get into the word themselves. You know, they want to listen to everyone else. You need to get into this book. Start reading the Bible. Start obeying the Bible. So I have number two here. I have, I test my word. I test it. So what do you mean you test a prophetic word? Well, let's read what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. It says here to test all things. We need to test prophecies and hold fast to what is good. And I'll get to that in what that part, what it means in it. I'll come back to that, but let's read 1 Corinthians 14:29 in your notes. And it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. So it says, so what are we? What? Judge a prophecy? That's right. If you say, I have a word from the Lord, I'm going to say, I'm going to judge it. And, you know, that might offend a person, But and the person might go, but yeah, but it came from God. But you know what? But it came through you. You see, prophecy is like water that goes through a window screen. If there's dirt on the screen, the dirt is coming out on the other side. The water may be pure coming out of the hose, but if it goes through a screen that's dirty, the water is going to be dirty. So that's the reason why we judge prophecy, because none of us is fallible. Only God is perfect. And we need to test the prophetic word, and we have to understand it, and we have to judge it. You know, this is, we need to know if it's from God or if it's not. This is how we test prophecy, right here. So let's read another scripture in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3. Now listen to the prophecy in this. It says, suppose there are prophets among you, or those who dream dreams about the future, and they promise you signs or miracles, and predicted signs or miracles occur. If they say, come, let us worship other gods, gods you have not known before, do not listen to them. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you truly love him with all your heart and soul. Look what it says here. It says, let's go after other gods. You know, and what does God say here? He says, don't listen to him. You know, what if somebody comes to you and gives you words and says, you'll know this is a word from God because here's the sign. And the sign comes to pass, but the word doesn't line up with his word. God is saying, I'm testing you. Don't listen to it. You see, or you might hear some other people speak a prophecy and they might say, well, you know this is from God. If it's going to rain tomorrow and it rains, he could have watched the Weather Channel. And if for me, I live in Kowloon. It rains every day. It wouldn't work for me. You see? So you have to test it against the Word of God. And here's a good one. You know, you might hear somebody say, you know what? I got this word from God, and I know it's him, because this happened to me when I was a teenager, and only God knew what happened to me when I was a teenager. You know, hold on, grasshopper. Because you know what? If it happened to you in it, the devil might have been there also. And if it happened to me when I was a teenager, I'm pretty sure he was there. You know, So God's word confirms God's word. That's how we know if it's a true word of God. So we test the word. And also in the Hebrew, the word to test means to prove. So we use it to prove prophecy. You know, when a home has mold, a company comes in to test for the mold, but a different company comes in to clean it. Because if he would test it and he would clean himself, he's testing himself. Well, you know, so after the other company comes in and cleans the mold, the company comes back to test it again. You know, and sometimes that's what we do. We test prophecy ourselves. Instead of allowing the Word of God, the Bible, to test the prophecy, God will speak to all of us. You need to understand this, but how are we going to know the literal Word of God if we don't know this word? We're all Christians, right? Right? You're Christians, right? Sooner or later, you're going to have to read this. You're going to have to read this Bible. You know, I had a couple, you know, sometimes I have dreams, you know. I'm sure that everybody, I mean, some mornings I wake up and I'm like, oh, Lord, what was that about? You know, because I just know it wasn't nothing that he had for me. I'm like, oh. That was a nightmare. That wasn't a dream, you know. But there's some dreams I wake up, I'm like, you know, I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, so, and I know what's from him and stuff because of this. You can see good things, you know. And also I had a time where I was leaving to work. And as I turned my zippies on Nimitz, you know, the light was red, so I was slowing down, and then the light turned green. And I just had the Holy Spirit come over me, and he told me, I need you to stop. But, you know, so much happened in that time, you know. I was just like, well, you know, I got the green light. Why I got to stop, Lord? You know, you start thinking things like this. But then, you know, I just said, well, God wouldn't do anything to hurt me. He has a reason here, because I felt it really strong in me. So I pulled up to the light as I was going. And I got the green light. I'm going, I know I hear you, Lord, but why am I stopping for? Sure enough, I stopped to the edge, and I looked. As soon as I turned to my right, I heard, he ain't stopping. And I seen this truck, this cement truck, a cement truck. This is like 3 a.m. I see him barreling down, and I hear the Holy Spirit tell me, he ain't stopping. And I watched him fly past, and I was like, oh, and that's it. But inside me, he told me that God has favor on my life. He cares about me. He doesn't want me to get hurt. And, you know, I thought about this all the way home, how it happened. At first, when it happened, I was mad. I was like, this, you know, I don't want to. But, you know, I was like, what is this guy doing? He's out of his mind. You know, this is 3 a.m. But, you know, it's because, and on the way home, I was just contemplating, Lord, what happened? Tell me what happened. And I was just thinking, because God has a hold on my life, and he wants good things, and that he gave me that word during that time. And I praised him, because I was like, you know, Lord, it's because I know your goodness, and you gave me enough to obey you, so that these things, you know, I was crying on the way home. I was bawling like a baby, you know, because I knew what had happened, and that was him. And you know, that's what God does. He just makes you a crybaby. That's why I can't go. That's why I can't go see Bambi movies or anything. But you know, the next day I call up Mealy to tell him what happened. Halfway through, he already knows what happened, because he's in the Word, and he starts crying. You know, so that's what I'm talking about. You need to know this book, because God will speak to you in your life, and you need to know the times when he does, and this will confirm that it's him. So let's read 1 Timothy 1:18 to 20. Oh, I had another one, another example. You know, once I was mad at my son because he wouldn't wash the dishes in the sink. So I got really, really mad at him. And this is what God does. This is what happens when you read his word and you see his goodness. And, you know, I was like, I'm just tired of this. I cannot handle this. So what I did is I grabbed all his dishes and I threw it in a garbage can. You know, I said, I'd teach him a lesson. So what did I do? I said, okay. Well, walking down the hallway, the Holy Spirit tells me, Jesus would wash the dishes for you. Stop dead in my tracks. And I just look up. I said, oh, Lord. And I turned around, took the dishes out, washed them, put them in the rack. You see, that's what this does. That's what the Bible does. Just wanted to share that with you. And you're not going to know these things. If I didn't know his word, I would have just kept on walking. You know, and stuff. But that's God's goodness. That's how we know that's God speaking through our lives. And it'll happen to all of us. But we need to read his word to confirm it, to know that's him. And it's an awesome time when God does that. It's really wonderful, because you know that God loves you so much. He's willing to spend that time with you in that way. But let's read 1 Timothy 1:18-20. And it says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Himenaeus and Alexander are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so they might learn not to blaspheme God. You know, first of all, Paul tells Timothy to hold on to the prophecy that is spoken over his life and to fight well in the Lord's battles, but to receive prophecy in good faith and a clear conscience. You need to receive faith by hearing the word, but you get a good conscience by doing the word. You can't walk in or receive prophecy over your life if you are not going to do the word of God. You have faith by hearing the word. You have a good conscience by doing the word. You know, the two men here who rejected the prophecy over their lives didn't receive it in good faith, you know, and a good conscience. They didn't hear the word or do the word because they suffered, their faith suffered shipwreck. But now the prophecy over them, now if they want that prophecy spoken to them to come to pass, what they need to do is to come back and repent. And you know, when Paul says that I handed him over to Satan, what he meant, he handed them over because they blasphemed God. What it means here is that they're going to be disciplined, you know. But it's amazing to see here that rejecting the spoken word over your life is blasphemy. Hold on to your word. Stand firm in your faith. One day you're going to help people. All of us here, we're going to help people. You're going to minister to people. You're going to teach people. God is going to use you all in a special way. You're going to walk the word and in faith and in a good conscience so God can do that. You know, your Father in heaven has spoken a word over you, over all of us here. And he did it when we were in the womb. Your Father spoke a destiny over your life, and that's the Bible. Until that destiny comes to pass, this is going to test us. This will test us. Okay, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I just have one simple question here. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? What is he saying? The reason why I'm saying this is because we don't come to church just to get information. We come to church to hear revelation and to receive impartation. God has you today here for a reason. He wants to get you back on track, or he wants to get you on track, so that you can reach that destination that he has for you. He cares for you. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you today so much, Father, for the word that you have given us, Father. Father God, I know that in your word, Father, you have so many good things. And by faith, Father, you speak to us through your word, Father. And we take that upon faith, and having a good conscience that you give us, Father. But I know, Father, that sometimes we struggle, Lord. We struggle to grab that book, Lord. There may be things in our lives or obstacles. The speed bumps are in the way, Lord. I know for myself, Lord, I just turn. I say, not today, Lord. Not today. But I know that you love us so much, Father, and that you just want to show us that we can rest and depend on you for all things. And if you struggle in this era of just getting into his word and seeing the words that can heal us, that will provide for us, will you just raise your hands so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And Father God, we ask you to help us, Father, in our daily walk with you. Put it in our hearts, Lord, deep in our hearts, that we may grow deep words, great roots, Lord, to be nourished by your living waters, your word, Lord. Father, I just pray that during this time, Father, that we read your word that you will bring many things to our heart, Lord, that we will see you in such a special way, and that we may live and our lives may be guided by your word, Father, that we will be able to walk with a clear conscience, Lord, that we may be ready to fight the Lord's battles. Thank you so much, Father God. Thank you for always hearing us. We pray all these things in your Son's name, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And if today you are ready to give your life to Jesus, know that the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. The Holy Spirit may be tugging at your heart right now. He may be telling you to make a decision for Jesus. He does that simply because he loves you. The Bible tells us that if we deny him, that he will deny us. But if you receive him today, he will gladly welcome you into his family of believers. So what we can do to receive God into our lives, we can start by praying this simple prayer. Just saying the words to this prayer isn't enough. You must mean it from deep within your heart. That's all God wants is your heart. That's all he cares about. And if you are ready to say yes to Jesus, with all of our eyes closed and our heads bowed, can you just raise your hand right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say this prayer with me, and let's all say it together as a family. Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you, and I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for me on the cross for my sins. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. And I give you praise for that, Father. And Father God, I confess I'm a sinner. But your word says that if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just. But to forgive me of all my sins, cleanse me now, Lord. Cleanse me from all my unrighteousness and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so that you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Yes.